You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We are going to speak now to Caroline Leavitt, who was the first Gen Z GOP nominee for U.S. Congress. She's a Trump White House assistant, a former Trump White House assistant press secretary. She joins us now, and we have so much to get to. Caroline, first up, I just want your reaction on this Trump indictment. We're not going to get it today. Everybody has been on mugshot watch, just waiting with bated breath. Give us your take on this whole ordeal.
Yeah, well, my take is that it's disgusting, it's despicable, it's shocking and quite unbelievable that the left is this deranged, that they are taking such drastic measures to remove Donald Trump from the political scene. I truly believe they will do everything they possibly can to get this man behind bars, to prevent him from returning to the White House in 2024. Alvin Bragg is, frankly, a despicable human being. His entire campaign for DA was to get Trump, not to get the murderers, rapists, and violent criminals on the streets of Manhattan, but to get the former president of the United States. And frankly, shame on the voters of New York City for propelling him to this position. Now he's abusing it. He's abusing his power. We've seen people on both sides of the political aisle, even on CNN, saying, you know, there really is no legal grounding or standing for this case, yet Alvin Bragg is continuing to charge ahead. I was just at Mar-a-Lago last week with President Trump, actually with Howie Carr as well. We had a great dinner and ran into the president. He was in good spirits, and he was ready, in his own words, to fight against this endless witch hunt. That's exactly what he said to Howie and I, and I believe him. And I think I know for a fact, having been in touch with the president's team over the past week, they are slammed, but they are fighting back hard. This is definitely reinvigorating the base, and I think politically speaking, it's going to be great for the president. We're seeing that with his poll numbers because it really shows how desperate the establishment and the left is, and I think it's waking up conservatives everywhere who may have not wanted to be in tune with politics right now, Grace, but we don't have a choice. Our country is in peril, and if we don't have a Department of Justice that is working to protect justice, but rather to protect the ruling class in D.C., well, guess what? We don't have a country anymore. So it's time to fight back. The president's fired up about it. I am, and I hope all your viewers are too, because this is really serious stuff, and it could be a literal pivotal moment in our nation's history if this indictment comes down.
Caroline, let's talk a little bit about Michael Cohen, because he is kind of the person holding all of this together, and it's on shaky ground to begin with. But he has his own, you know, track record. He's a convicted felon. A lot of people don't think he's very trustworthy. Kind of goes along with the other thing I just said. Have you ever had a run-in with Michael Cohen? Did the White House ever have any interaction with him? And what is your reaction to the fact that this is all kind of hinging on this one person who isn't a reliable narrator in any sense of the word?
Yeah, you know, I personally never interacted with Michael Cohen during my tenure at the White House. He was there numerous times in the West Wing, but I never spoke to him. But I found very telling last night. I was watching Hannity on Fox News, and Kellyanne Conway was on, and she worked very closely with Michael Cohen. In fact, she said on Hannity last night that the two of them were very good friends. They had a great relationship. And let's all remember, right now, Michael Cohen is the villain in this scenario as far as we on the right are concerned. He should be, because he's a liar and a crook, and he's turned his back on his former client, Donald Trump, as soon as it was advantageous to him. But at that time, right, he was the president's lawyer. He was his legal counsel. And so he was very close to a lot of people within the president's orbit, including Kellyanne, who was campaign manager in 2016. And she said last night on live television, I don't see why she would lie about this. And she testified before the grand jury saying this as well, that when she was campaign manager, this alleged hush money payment to Stormy Daniels never came across her desk. And she and Michael Cohen worked together hand in hand. Now, I can just tell you, having run my own congressional campaign on a much, much lesser scale than a presidential race for Donald Trump, we worked very closely with our legal team, our lawyers, and our accountants on our team, too, right, to make sure that every T was crossed, every I was dotted. And so it's hard to imagine that Michael Cohen, the former president's lawyer, wouldn't have made the former president's campaign manager aware of such payment if it had taken place. So he's lied every chance that he's gotten. Now we've seen his former legal counsel, Bob Costello, coming out in interviews. This guy doesn't have an axe to grind. He's not being paid by anyone. He's just coming forth with the truth because he feels as if it's such a pivotal moment to speak truth. And he's saying, look, Michael Cohen was a guy that was literally suicidal, did not want to go to jail, and was willing to do anything possible to avoid jail time. So what is he doing? He's selling out Donald Trump, and he is continuing to lie, not only under oath to Congress, which he's already served jail time for, but also now before this grand jury. And this is the guy that Alvin Bragg's entire case is going to be rested upon. I mean, the entire thing is really, really hard to imagine that they are still moving forward with it. But again, they're so unhinged, they're so deranged, they don't give a crap about the merit or the credibility of Michael Cohen. All they care about is getting Trump. And that's not me saying it as someone who's favorable of the president and was working in his White House. This is Alvin Bragg's own words. He campaigned on that slogan. So we should take him at his word. This investigation and indictment deserves no credibility, and the Republicans in D.C. need to fight back, bring Alvin Bragg to Congress, drag him in there, and question him on what the hell he is doing, abusing his power and his position as Manhattan D.A.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Alvin Bragg, Caroline, because my next question for you is a hypothetical, but today threw a little wrench in Alvin Bragg's plan. And, you know, we keep hearing that the indictment's coming and then the arrest is going to come and the fingerprints and the mugshot, and the timeline keeps getting pushed out. And then, as you mentioned, the Bob Costello testimony has, you know, put another turn in this story. And so now what I'm starting to wonder is, and again, we don't know what's going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball, but if Alvin Bragg can't deliver the goods, if he cannot give this close-up mugshot to the Democrats, who are now really, think about all the times, Caroline, that they were told the walls are closing in, the noose is tightening, now's the time, we finally got him, and then it wouldn't, you know, it would trickle out or it would fade away. This time, they can taste it. They really think they're going to get this moment. Mm-hmm. What happens if Alvin Bragg decides this is even too crazy and too bogus, too much of a sham for even Bragg to go through with? What kind of reaction can we expect from the Trump deranged people who really think that now's the time, they finally got him?
Yeah, well, I think they'll find something else, right? I mean, that's what they've continually done over the past 6 years. I mean, it started in 2016 when, as soon as President Trump was transitioning into the White House, they were spying on his administration. Nobody talked about that. He was right to call it out. Then, of course, we had the Russia, Russia, Russia collusion hoax, billions of taxpayer dollars wasted. We now know the Steele dossier was actually manufactured by Hillary Clinton and pushed by the DNC. How pathetic. Then we had the impeachment over the sham January 6th committee that did not allow pro-Trump members of Congress to participate. Real evidence was not allowed to be offered, and it was a complete just sham show. Thinking back to all this stuff, honestly, it disgusts me to think that these people have wasted so much time and energy when we have such real problems in this country right now. But I think they'll just continue on the witch hunt, Grace. I mean, their vendetta, right, is to get Trump. It is to put him in bars. It is to prevent him from ever holding office again. And we have to think about what is their motivation for that. They hate the guy. Of course they do. But why do they hate him? They hate him because they fear him. They hate him because they know if he is ever given power again, especially after all they put him through, he is going to dig his teeth so hard into the swamp, they're not going to know what to do. He will drain the swamp. He will fire and expose every single person who's been part of all this crap over the past several years. And so they fear that more than they fear looking silly for trying to arrest Trump for legal cases that make absolutely no sense. So again, it's not about merit or legal standing. It is about preventing themselves from being exposed for looking like the corrupt, foolish politicians that they all truly are.
Carolyn, I have one more question for you for people who are just tuning in and who are loving this. Her name is Caroline Leavitt, and you can follow her on Instagram at Caroline Leavitt. Caroline, my next last question for you is there's a poll out that 22.4% of U.S. women want to run for political office. Now, you have experience with this. You're not only a woman, you're one of the youngest women to ever do it. What advice would you give to young women out there or just women of any age who want to get involved, who don't like the quality of life right now or don't like where this country's headed and they want to get involved in politics, but they don't know how? Give us like your top tip for the ladies out there.
Yeah, well, I love this question, and it's one I receive all of the time on my personal social media and when I'm out and about. In fact, I just grabbed lunch with a friend here in New Hampshire at a local diner, and some young ladies came up to me and asked the same question. And my advice is always to do it. Get involved. Find the cause that you're passionate about and seek an office that you legitimately think you have a chance at winning, whether that's your local school board, whether it's selectman, whether it's county treasurer or commissioner or United States Congress. Be as crazy as me and go for it. Nobody thought I was going to win my race. In fact, people mocked me and smeared me when I said I wanted to run. And then I came out of a 10-person field and won by 10 points. And how did I do that? It's because I worked harder than every single person in the race. And that's advice that my former boss, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, gave to me. She said, look, as a young woman, you are going to have to work harder than every man in this race. It's something I believe firmly in. You have to prove yourself a little bit more. But don't pity yourself for it. Just do it. And it's great to think, I think, to see young women, especially conservative women, getting involved. I was backed by so many amazing mothers who are so fed up with what's going on in the school system. They're showing up to their school board meetings. They're demanding change. And the Democrat Party always wants to be the party of women and say that the Republicans want to take away women's rights. Well, that's just simply not true at all. And we need more conservative women involved to prove that, like yourself, Grace, with your wonderful show, or like myself, those of us that step up and run and use our voice, we have the ability to change minds. And look, we only have one life, so you might as well make the most of it while you can.
Absolutely. Well said. Caroline Leavitt will be here again the same time next week talking to us. And you can follow her on Twitter at KLeavittNH. Make sure you follow her. She's got tons of good content out there on social media. She's always on Newsmax. You can see some of her clips on all of her feeds. And we thank her so much for joining the show. When we come back, we'll take calls on this. We'll take calls on all of the things that Caroline just mentioned, whether it be what's going on in this country right now, or if you want to specifically talk about Trump and this indictment. We'll also play some sound from DeSantis's recent interview and talk a little bit about Dr. Fauci. New topical skin cream can help reduce wrinkles, bags under your eyes, sagging skin, and dark circles without the use of dangerous, expensive Botox injections. Call Skin DH. This skin cream was developed to provide temporary tightening of your skin, helps you look younger, and to give you the courage you need to take on the day. Reduce the signs of aging and get your confidence back. Skin DH works by mimicking a crucial protein in the Botox formula to provide the visual effects of a facelift in just 10 minutes, and it lasts all day. Skin DH offers visible results that are similar to Botox without the side effects. These side effects can include things like injection site pain, swelling, bruising, headaches, and each injection is expensive, reaching at least $240 for one treatment. But with Skin DH, you get the same amazing results at a fraction of the price with no side effects. Today, we have a special discount code that gets you a buy one, get one free deal. That's a 60-day supply for the price of 30 days. A BOGO offer. It's buy one, get one free. Use discount code GRACEBOGO when you go to painlessfacelift.com. That's painlessfacelift.com. Use discount code GRACEBOGO. So when we come back, we have a lot of things left to hit before the end of the show, including this new trend that's been happening since people are returning to work. they're stealing, absconding the silverware in the company kitchen. We're going to talk about this when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curly. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Which is your favorite nickname that Trump's given you so far? Is it Ron? Ron de Sanctimonious or Meatball Ron?
Well, I can't...
I think even he went off Meatball Ron.
I can't... I don't know how to spell de Sanctimonious. I don't really know what it means, but I kind of like it's long. It's got a lot of vowels. I mean, so we go with that. That's fine. You know, you can call me whatever you want. I mean, just as long as you also call me a winner, because that's what we've been able to do in Florida, is put a lot of points on the board and really take the state to the next level.
I saw a lot of Trump's people on Twitter putting up these clips and saying, like, he's done it now. DeSantis attacks Trump. It's like, all right, first of all, if you're going to defend Trump, which is fine, I'm a fan of Trump, but if you're going to go down that road, don't act like that cut is in any way out of bounds for politics. He's laughing at the nicknames that Trump has given him. One of the nicknames, by the way, he gave him like two nights before the midterms. He seems to have a good sense of humor about it. And he just mentions that, hey, if you're going to call me this, call me a winner. And I see people losing their minds. Like, this is such a betrayal. Enough. Okay, really? Come on now. I don't think anyone's going to buy that. I think Trump can take it. If Trump can dish it the way he dishes it, I think he can take a laugh between DeSantis and Piers Morgan. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Enjoy spring on the Cape with April rates at $149.99 a night on weekdays and $179.99 a night on weekends. Or schedule now to have your summer trip set with breakfast included Memorial Day through September 20th. Book online now at NausetBeachInn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is do Democrats want Trump to be the GOP nominee?
I'm always really torn on this because on one hand, they truly do hate him so much. And Caroline Leavitt was right about that. There's a real hatred there that goes beyond any sort of strategy. It's a visceral detest for Donald Trump. But they know that Trump versus Biden has worked for them in the past. So it would make sense, logically, if they thought, hey, we'll do it again. And I don't know if they feel that way about DeSantis. Now, some people disagree. Some people tell me, no, the media wants DeSantis. They're encouraging. That's why they're so nice to DeSantis. I haven't really seen that. I actually have not seen this warm, fuzzy reception to Ron DeSantis. I'm going to say they want Trump to be the nominee.
43% say they would like Trump to be the nominee.
Pretty close.
58% say they do not want Trump to be the nominee.
There is a manhunt underway after a shooting at a Colorado school. The students there are safe. I think two administrators might have been shot. Jared, do I have that correct? And do we know what condition they're in?
I haven't seen an update. I'll check though.
We'll keep people posted on this, but Fox is running with it live. All right. So I've been kind of teasing this story all day and I just don't understand it. I've asked my coworkers who have worked at other places, cause I've been here for like 9 or 10 years. So maybe I'm just out of the loop, but it says return to office resulting in these thefts at shocking rates. Now, what kind of thefts?
They have been hospitalized following the shooting.
Okay. Well, we will, obviously keep them in our prayers and we'll keep you all posted on how that happens or what happens in regards to that. As employees have been returning to their offices, eating utensils have been vanishing from workspaces worldwide at shockingly high rates, the Wall Street Journal reported. It's reached the point where everyday people have deputized themselves as the fork police of their offices. This one guy, Ben Stiller, not the actor, He's utilized the sending of shameful emails to his colleagues in an attempt to guilt the fork stealers into returning the goods. Meanwhile, Nicola Williams, an office manager in London, finds herself ordering 100 new communal cutlery items every 6 months or so. The office only sees about 125 workers on a good week. So if I'm doing that math right, then the people who are showing up, they see 125 workers on a good week. And she's ordering 100 new pieces of cutlery every 6 months. Are people just showing up, taking the stuff and leaving? 844-500-4242. More DeSantis, more Fauci, and more stories when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. A lot to get to in this last segment. I'm going to throw it to the callers now. We've had some people waiting for a while. Ted, you are next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ted.
Hi, Grace. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Grace, my big worry about Trump getting indicted is I'm pretty confident that the GOP response is just not going to hit the right mark on this, and they're just going to, not do the right thing in response. It's going to fall far short. You know, the Democrats impeached Trump twice for nothing. I mean, we all know
right.
There was nothing to impeach him for. And so the GOP takes over and says, well, we're not going to do tit for tat, despite having a treasure trove of crimes just on the laptop alone. So now what are the Democrats doing? They haven't stopped. They're still going after Trump after he's out of office on totally bogus charges. And I love Caroline Leavitt, and I love the things she just said on the last segment, but I think the GOP needs to go further. If Bragg has had some acted illegally in some way in this, he needs to be arrested. We need to start arresting their prominent figures because they only understand the show of strength, and they frankly only understand tit for tat, or they'll just keep going.
I don't know if I agree with that. So a lot of people have complained to me before, and Ted's not the first person to say, you know, why aren't we impeaching Joe Biden? And I do think that, and this might anger people who have been frustrated, and I understand the frustration. I understand that it feels like a lot of people, a lot of prominent figures in the Democrat Party get away with whatever they want, and they do to an extent. But from what I've been seeing out of this oversight committee and out of, I know the wheels are churning slowly, but it does seem like they're doing the work. And all of, you are going to have politicians who come out and say Alvin Bragg should be arrested and Joe Biden should be arrested and Hunter Biden should be arrested. But if it's not actually going to happen, then I don't understand the call for it. And the other part of it, too, is I keep reading about these people in the GOP who demand this or they demand that, or they wrote a letter saying that so-and-so should be impeached. And it's like, again, it's great for grandstanding. I guess it makes people feel good. But what does it actually do? And I don't want to see it go down. See, this is the part of it where I kind of go off a different path than Ted. I don't want to see this country become a place where you arrest our guy, then we arrest your guy, and then you arrest our guy. Like, I know it sounds right now like fodder, but this is really the stuff of a third world country when you start arresting political opponents because, and I'm not, it's tricky because I'm not saying that the Bidens haven't done things that deserve scrutiny and that deserve investigations. That's what we're doing right now. But this knee jerk of like, let's arrest people, that's just not the way it's supposed to work. It sucks that the Democrats operate that way. It sucks that they're going to bend the law and bend the legal system to fit their rabid desires and their rabid needs. But I don't know if us doing the same thing back is the solution. I don't know what the solution is, if I'm being perfectly frank with everybody. But I don't think an eye for an eye is the right solution here. because then what happens to the country? We just start arresting everybody who ticks us off on the other side. Then they get into power and they arrest everybody. It just, am I missing something?
No, I can understand the frustration. Like you said, we can understand the frustration of the callers and the people at sea. Basically, this one-sided, two-tier justice system. I get it, but yeah, I mean, if we just, we risk going down a bad road. You know, it's like the same people that are saying this is a bad precedent indicting a former president. Well, there's some of the same people that are saying, well, we need to do it because they did it. And it's just
the, it's like a short-sightedness that I don't like, because I'm not using, there's a lot of hyperbole that's thrown out there nowadays when you talk about politics. I'm not using hyperbole when I say I think this could be detrimental to the great experiment. I think this could really have permanently damaging effects to the United States of America if we start up this game. And yeah, like I said, it's awful that they're doing this. It's reprehensible. You'd hope that a jury could see right through this and see right through a star witness like Michael Cohen, whose entire testimony at this point has been destroyed by Bob Costello, his former lawyer. But I just don't know if that's the way to handle it, is to say, okay, now we have to do it back to them. I think we get into a really, really, really dangerous area if that starts up. Now, what I do want to talk about here, though, for just a minute, is I wanted to talk about DeSantis's interview with Piers Morgan, because one of the things that he mentioned, which is being taken as a shot at Trump, and I guess it is, I have to hear it in its context, he's talking about a difference between he and Trump and how he would have handled COVID. This is cut five.
Well, I mean, I think there's a few things. I mean, obviously, you know, the approach to COVID was different. I mean, you know, I would have fired somebody like Fauci. I think that he got way too big for his britches, and I think he did a lot of damage. I also think, just in terms of my approach to leadership, you know, I get personnel in the government who have the agenda of the people and share our agenda. If you bring your own agenda in, you're gone. We're just not going to have that. So the way we run the government, I think, is no daily drama, focus on the big picture, and put points on the board. And I think that that's something that's very important.
Now, I think it's very easy to Monday morning quarterback how we handled things during COVID. And everyone's done it to a degree. However, what I will say is, when Trump has made it clear that he is going to criticize DeSantis' response to COVID and DeSantis' response to the vaccines, then now it's fair game to be critical of Trump's response to COVID. And I do think there is a fair amount of criticisms to be made there. This idea that DeSantis would have fired Fauci, again, that's easy to say now. I remember wanting Trump to fire Fauci and also not wanting Trump to fire Fauci. Because at the time, I just thought this is gonna enrage the liberals. They're going to set their hair on fire. Now, looking back, I think, well, their hair is constantly on fire either way, so we probably should have got rid of him. But this actually brings me to a Fauci cut that I want to play, because Fauci has this documentary out. It's a PBS American Masters, and this is him. This just, it really gives you, it's quintessential Tony. This is cut eight.
Rand Paul was insidiously throwing into his little questions that the work that was done in the Wuhan lab, funded by a small grant from NIH, a strong implication that that created a virus that made COVID. I have 10,000 grants throughout the world. What they've done is that they've looked at various grants and they make something of it that it isn't. The microbe they were working on not only was not SARS-CoV-2, it would be molecularly impossible for them to turn it into SARS-CoV-2. They were so different. It's kind of like you have a Chevrolet and you got a motorcycle. And you say, I want to make that Chevrolet into the motorcycle. No matter what you do to that Chevrolet, you're not going to make it into a motorcycle. Like, what are you talking about?
Like, what are you talking about? He's very confident in his stances. I would be curious if anything's changed since then. He's laughing off this lab leak theory, which we now know from the Department of Energy and the FBI, two right-wing bastions, is the most likely thing that happened. But at the time, he's very, very convinced that he is right.
And again, why is it so out of bounds to look at a place where a virus occurred, where there is a lab that you are funding in said place, and ask, hey, any chance that that could have happened?
No,
like,
it's not.
Why is it so out of bounds?
That's common sense. But we're not allowed to have common sense anymore. We're allowed to have boosters. We're allowed to have vaccines. We're allowed to have masks and plexiglass. But we are not allowed to have common sense. Paul, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, hi, Grace. So the whole tit-for-tat thing that you were talking about, sorry to sound a little on the mean side here, but what you were saying sounds very much like a lot of these so-called rhino Republicans say, oh, we're not going to bring it down to their level. The problem with that is that the Democrats are never going to stop. They are playing the long game. They have been playing the long game. And the difference is the Republicans can bring actual evidence, which proves that people actually committed crimes, whereas the Democrats are just bringing hyperbole.
And wait, Paul, can I ask you something? Because for an impeachment, I believe, and you know, I haven't thought about impeachment since Trump was being impeached, but I think it requires 2/3 vote of the Senate to convict. I don't think we'd get that for Joe Biden. So I get what you're saying if I sound squishy, like, oh, it's not really for me. It's not like a keep it classy type of thing. I think class has kind of died in politics now. It's more of just, is this an effective use of our time? That's where I'm coming from.
And I understand what you're saying, that they're not going to get an impeachment. But one step at a time, they can present the actual evidence for the people to see. It's sort of like the 2020 election. The evidence proved it was stolen. All the evidence was presented at the 6 contested states, but it was never brought to full view of the American public. So at least this gives a chance for the evidence to be presented for people to see the truth. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, that's your take. I mean, I understand it, and I understand why people... I just think that I look at Comer, I look at the Oversight Committee, I look at what they're doing, I look at these investigations, and I do see the ball moving. I know it might not be fast enough for some people. I know impeachment sounds a little sexier, like it sounds like something's getting done, but... it might not be much more getting done than what's getting done right now. That's all. That's my only warning to people, is that you get so caught up in wanting that headline, Biden impeached. If you're not going to get the votes for it, it becomes theater. And we saw a lot of that theater. And that could backfire, too. We saw what happens when you get the gold pens and you walk in and you do the theatrical grandstanding. And I just want to remind people as well... We tend to get a lot of people on here who they want to see things happen. They follow politics, very bright, like just like that last caller, very bright. But you have to think about it beyond the base. Like, you have to think about it as far as the rest of the country. I know it ticks people off that not everybody's as invested in the Biden crime family or is up to date on all these things as some of us are. And if everybody was as invested as we are, then yeah, maybe that stuff would make sense. But you're dealing with a lot of people in this country who are worried about, you know, what they're paying for food, what they're paying for gas. They're checked out. And if they see a bunch of Republicans impeaching Biden and the media is going to be on Biden's side, they're going to frame it as some sort of, you know, dog and pony show. Oh, there's nothing to see here. This is just Republicans wasting taxpayer dollars. Which, yeah, again, if you follow politics, you know, well, the Democrats did this twice. And they were being applauded by these same very people. But we have to know how it's going to play out. Like, you have to be aware of the way this will be framed and how people in the middle, it could backfire on us. I would love nothing more than to come on here and tell all of you that we need to impeach Joe Biden, and that if we do impeach Joe Biden, and if we have these charges and we arrest Hunter and we arrest Joe, that like all of this stuff's going to happen. I would love to tell you that, but it's just not the world we live in. So I'm operating in reality here. And I get why that's not fun for people. But I don't know if it's the best idea. I'm not like fully unconvinced either. A lot of people have been texting in, making good arguments. I'm open-minded to it. But as far as right now, I think we got to stick with these investigations. We got to figure out, we've got to actually see the evidence, present it. I just don't know if playing the same game as the Democrats is the right move. But just a reminder, it's not a class thing. It's not me being like, oh, we need to rise above. We need to be, what do they always say about Republicans? Oh, the strange new respect. We need to be dignified like the Republicans of the old days. It's not that. I'm just thinking strategically, is this the best thing? For people who don't pay attention to politics, how does this look? How does this play? That's where I'm coming from. It's getting warm, actually. It was very warm yesterday, Jared. It was like 65 degrees when I got home. And that means it's the perfect time to start up your grill and start that spring grilling. And we have the best options for you if you go to Omaha Steaks. The quality, the convenience, everything you need delivered right to your door for an unforgettable package of amazing options, including steaks, seafood, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, decadent desserts, whatever you like, whatever, you know, if you have a family member who's picky, Omaha Steaks has so many things for everyone. Plus, when you go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code GRACE at checkout, you'll get an additional $30 off your order. It's the perfect way to get fired up and spring into something special. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use code GRACE at checkout and take advantage of this deal. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away, and you're going to want to hurry because 50% off site-wide is only happening for a limited time. So don't miss your chance. That's omahasteaks.com. Use code GRACE at checkout and get an additional $30 off when you shop their semi-annual sale. omahasteaks.com. Use code GRACE at checkout. Minimum order may be required. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I didn't expect to have this conversation today, but I'm kind of glad the callers have brought it up because I'd love to get Howie's take on it. So obviously, the bar for impeaching a president was lowered drastically when Democrats were in charge and Trump was in the White House. Howie, do you think it's a good idea for Republicans to impeach Joe Biden right now?
Well, I mean, as I've always said, Grace, it's pointless if you don't have the 2/3 vote in the Senate anyway. I mean, even if they slide through, you know, and impeach him by 5 votes, 6 votes in the House, they don't have the 66 or 67 votes they need in the Senate. So what's the point? You know, that's why the feds have a conviction rate of like 98.5% because they never bring a case unless they know they can get a conviction. Right. I mean, that seems common sense to me.
Right. So when people call up Howie and they say, I sound like one of the squishy rhinos for saying it might be a little bit of a waste of time, you wouldn't disagree with me on that.
No, I never say, yeah, let's go ahead and impeach him for. I mean, what's the point? You know, what's the point? I just heard you just now saying, you know, Comer seems to be getting a lot out there into the mainstream media. And you know, what is his reward? I mean, he's just trying to subpoena documents that they have to turn over. And the New York Times runs a front page story portraying him as a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist, Alex Jones type guy.
Yeah, exactly. Howie, really quickly here, we got about a minute left, but I want to spend it on your latest column. You're telling Democrats, be careful what you wish for. You also, my favorite part of it, you say Mike Tyson has a different saying, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Tell us what you mean.
I just mean that, you think that this is a great plan to either, get Trump to Trump the nomination because you could beat him, or to get DeSantis the nomination because he has a glass jaw, or whatever the theory is. But once the fight starts, you don't know what's going to happen. I always go back to, you know, the famous historical World War One move by the Germans. They thought, well, we'll send Lenin back into Russia in a sealed rail car to stir up trouble for the czarist regime. That'll be a good plan. It was a good plan short term, but it didn't work out long term, did it? Communism, Soviet Union, they really did a number on Germany 20 years later.
Yeah, it's like releasing a big cat or something into a zoo when you're still in the cage. You don't know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, you could always make the decision to start a fight, but you can't make the decision to end the fight. That's what Tyson was saying. It's, you know, it's a common expression.
And
that
you know
was
what?
A good way to
coming
put it.
From a fighter like Howie Carr, that's some words you can trust. All right, Howie's coming up next. Don't go anywhere.